Welcome to the Manly Pinterest Tip Show. Pinterest Tip Show. A show designed to assist man in his quest to succeed on Pinterest. If you have interest in the content you want to share, content you want your clients to see, learn ways to grow and succeed in this unique and exciting world. One man will assist you on your journey to become a pinner and grow your presence online. Men and women can share in the success. And here to show you how
is your host.
Is your host, Jeff C. Adding testosterone, one pin at a time.
Hello, folks. Welcome to the Manly Pinterest Tips Podcast. I'm Jeff C., and you're not. With Instagram reaching over 500 million daily active users and 300 million of those daily active users using Instagram stories, Instagram is one of the fastest growing social platforms ever. If you're struggling with getting started on Instagram or just want to boost your effectiveness with this visual social media marketing platform, then today's show is for you. But first, have you given Tailwind a try? Now, you've heard me talking about them on my show before. No matter how much you love Pinterest, you can't be on it 24/7. So I use Tailwind to schedule my pins and my clients' pins. They're an official marketing partner with Pinterest, so you don't need to worry about compliance or any of that kind of stuff. Another feature is that they have incredible analytics that helps me know what content my audience is looking for. And they have a free trial that you can access by going to manlypinteresttips.com/Tailwind. They even have a brand new Instagram tool that you need to check out. That's manlypinteresttips.com/Tailwind. Give them a try today. Now, I'm very excited to have Taylor Bradford on the show to give us her tips on Instagram and discuss branding, how she uses it for her business, podcast, and more. Taylor Bradford is host and creator of the Boss Girl Creative Podcast and Community. In 2011, Taylor started a blogging tips and tricks series entitled Blogging Edumacation on her lifestyle blog, Taylor Bradford Blog. After writing over 40 lessons, she decided to take her lessons and advice and turn them into a podcast, which launched in July of 2015. Her podcast teaches the what's, the whys, and hows of a blogging business and being a creative entrepreneur. Taylor has a passion for teaching and helping other creative entrepreneurs, and she has a knack for business and a lifelong dream of sharing it with her fellow boss girls. In my conversation with Taylor, we discussed the feared Instagram algorithm, her favorite tools, her Instagram story strategy, and also how to actually disclose branded content so you don't run afoul of the FTC. Now, this episode is chock full of some great information. I know you'll appreciate all the knowledge Taylor shares, so let's jump right into my conversation with Taylor Bradford. Taylor, thank you so much for being here today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited.
Now, I do want to, I looked at some of your other bio stuff that you had on your website, and I want to talk just really quick about it. You said in 2011, you started your very first blog on about a used car lot. Is that right?
Yeah. In 2008, yes, okay. 2008, okay. I had a blog that I started called Tales of a Used Car Lot Owner. And I had seen some of the strangest things in the, like, just being a used car lot owner. My husband, right, were just small mom and pop. We're not like any big franchise or anything. Right. And I was just like, I just have to write this story. And it was not long after I had stumbled on the Pioneer Woman's blog. And I just binged read her blog from start to finish. And I was like, oh, we could be best friends if only she knew me. And right, so yeah. It gave me the courage to create a blog. I had no idea what I was doing. I was very sporadic, but that kind of was my launch, was that first blog.
Very, very cool. That was just interesting. I saw that little tidbit and I was like, wow, that's pretty awesome. So for you guys joining us live, we are talking all about Instagram today, if you're just joining us. And if you have any comments or questions, leave them right here in Facebook and we'll try to bring them up on the screen. I have my friend Elisa Meredith is here today, and she liked the term edumacation. She thought that was pretty good. So give us your questions on Instagram as we're talking today, because Taylor has an awesome Instagram account and we're going to kind of break some of that stuff down. Now you started this blog about used car lots. So how did you like your evolution to where you are now? Because it seems like a big jump.
Yeah. So that blog didn't last very long. Okay. I ended up going on the road for my job full time in 2011. And they sent me out to West Texas in the middle of nowhere. And I knew nobody and everybody on my crew was men. And I was bored out of my mind. I was living in a hotel room 3 weeks at a time. I couldn't go home, but every 3 weeks. And I literally turned it into an apartment, and I just longed to have connection. And so I started the first blog, my first iteration of what it is today. It was called Goings On in Texas. I didn't even talk about what was going on in Texas. I didn't understand branding back then, but it was just something that I could do. And I became a 5 day a week blogger at that point. And I was fascinated by the nitty gritty of blogging. Like every time I learned something new, I wanted to share about it. And that's where blogging education came from. So every time I learned something, I turned it into a series. And that series just progressed me. And I listened to my first podcast episode in fall of 2014. And I was like enamored by the medium. I was like, wow, if I could actually get how passionate I am into people's ears, they're going to really learn from me if I keep teaching them. So I was like, okay, I'm going to start a podcast. I don't have a clue how to do that, but I'm going to figure it out. And I ended up in the spring of 2015, I ended up going through B school. And so B school kind of helped move me forward into, okay, I'm going to make this a thing. I'm going to take it off my blog, because I've got two readers now coming to my blog. I've got Pinterest people finding my stuff. And then I've got all these bloggers coming over for the information on how to be a better blogger. So I created Boss School Creative, and I knew I was going to have a show. And so I started learning. I found some stuff to buy to teach me how to be a podcaster. And then I was like, I really want this to work. So how do I get this to work? And I kept hearing the word launch. I need to launch this. And as a blogger, when you first start, and even if you've been blogging for a while, you come up with an idea, you talk to your tribe members about it. They're like, yeah, go for it. And then you do it. There's like a 50-50 crapshoot of whether or not it's going to actually go anywhere. There's no other like, okay, there's no roadmap. There's no, okay, 6 weeks out, you got to do this. And then 4 weeks out, you got to do, no, you just do it and hope for the best. And I've done a lot of those things, and some of them turned out and some of them didn't. Anyway, so I found Fearless Launching with Ann Samoilov and took her program right after B school and legitimately walked myself through launching my podcast. And as soon as we were done with Fearless Launching, my show was launched. And so that's kind of the evolution of, I needed to learn, I needed to teach myself to get myself into the position I'm in now.
Very cool. I think that's when I started my own podcast too. And I kind of did the similar thing. Is I was like, okay, I'm going to do it right. I've always said, if I'm going to fail, I'm going to fail spectacularly. And so I joined John Lee Dumas's, podcast Paradise, and that I knew all the stuff for SEO, and I ran with it that way. And so it worked. And so, yes. Very, very cool. Well, today we're going to be talking all about Instagram, and, you know, I want to know for you, why Instagram and say not some other place like Snapchat? So what initially like really attracted you to that platform?
So I'm a very visual person. Pinterest and Instagram are like my two jams. I love both of them. And I love Instagram because you can also create a community with Instagram. It's very hard to create community per se with Pinterest. You can't necessarily like envelop the people that are following you and like corral them into commenting back and forth with you. And then when Instagram decided to steal Snapchat's story feature, I knew that that was what was going to help keep me going forward in Instagram. They have algorithm changes that have, you know, no longer chronological feeds. So how in the world do you get out in front of your audience? And the story is really what keeps you relevant with those people that truly want to see what you're doing, what's going on. And so I tried Snapchat. I still have a Snapchat. I love the filters on Snapchat, but I have no clue who's following me. Like until somebody messages me back or I see that they opened it, like there's no like gamification. There's no way to really track any kind of analytics through Snapchat. And so as soon as Instagram created their own version, I was like, I already have this built-in audience. I already know what my follower count is and what my potential is. And the way Instagram stories work, if I use a hashtag in one of my stories, it opens me up to a much greater audience than if I just were to tag a photo on Instagram. It, like, there's a little bit more power behind using a hashtag in your actual story than it is in your actual just regular feed, because your story gets put into the culmination of that hashtag and random people can find you. So I am very enamored with Instagram.
Those are great, some great tips. So, you know, on one of your podcasts, you talk about a term called organic interaction. And I thought that was really interesting how you put those two. I've heard, you know, have organic posts and, you know, interact, but you talked about organic interaction. So what do you mean by that, and why is it so important?
So my whole thing, because no longer can we expect to go viral. There's no like little, okay, we do this and we do this. Oh, bam, it's viral. So my whole thing, when I'm talking to my community and when I'm teaching, I'm saying you just need to be discoverable. And the discoverability also comes into just organic interaction, meaning you don't go out and you pay for some kind of thing that's automating your likes and automating your comments into the Instagram platform, because Instagram will immediately sort of blacklist you when it realizes that you have this kind of automatic thing. So if you are organically going through your feed and truly engaging with the people that are engaging with you, first of all. So if you get somebody that likes your photo, 9 times out of 10, well, maybe it's 4 out of 5. I don't know what the exact percentage is, but if it's a true fan and you go back and interact with them, they'll come back and interact back with you again. So it's kind of like this, hey, tag back, you know, that kind of thing. If it's an automator, like I know who the automators are. I can tell, right. Like they'll put random comments and I really want to just write back and say, and that was relevant. How?
Like, right. Great post.
On fire. What was on fire? I just talked about something not fun. Like,
yeah. It's done. I think the robots have gone down a little bit, but it's still, they went down when they did some like the algorithm change, and then it's starting to creep back up, I've noticed. So, yeah. So yes. I think that is so important. And so many people don't realize that it takes work. I mean, yes. It's not, you can't automate being, you know, authentic. There's no automation for that. And so I think that's a great point. But I loved how you said organic interaction, because that's what it is. It's organically going back and trying to build those relationships and asking thoughtful questions.
Absolutely. And doing more than just double tapping for the heart. Like, and I'm not saying that you can't just double tap. Like there are some things based on the caption or what the image is that a double tap is really all you can bring out. Like you would probably sit there too long trying to come up with a comment that might be a way to create conversation. And so that's just easier. Just double tap and move on. But find the ones that are asking the questions that make sense for your own brand and your audience and engage with them. So I'm always on the hunt for people that may not know about my show and like going in and finding creative entrepreneurs and engaging with them to get them back over to my profile so that they realize, hey, this girl has a podcast. Maybe I should listen to it.
Right. Very cool. And I think that's actually how I found you, as a friend of ours, Peg Fitzpatrick, said, hey, there's this girl in Texas, not very far from you. You got to check her out. And so, and that's how kind of it went. And then I started watching your stuff and said, hey, I got to have her on the show. So, you know, everybody, and we've noticed this because I run Social Media Examiner's Instagram, that we've really noticed it's been a reduced reach and even interaction, but it's really strange. I'm seeing people comment on posts from a way back. It's like it's, you know, that's trickling them up in some weird way. And so it's all based on the algorithm. So how do you fight the algorithm, or maybe not even fight it, but how do you work with it?
So honestly, I gave up. There's like, I can't, I have to just continue being me. Mm-hmm. And the people that stumble upon me, the discoverability, I just have to continue being me. Like if I stress myself out about how in the world I'm going to show up in Instagram's algorithm, I will never get anywhere. But if I stay true to who I am and continue to post as often as I can. Like I try hard at least once a week, once a day. Occasionally life intervenes. It happens right. for everybody, but I can't do more than once. So I know I can't do more than once. I can't create content more than once. And for me, Instagram is another like kind of micro blog. So I'm not just going out and randomly taking photos and throwing them into my feed. I'm trying to be a little bit more content creation is what I'm going for on both of my Instagram feeds. So I have one for my vintage business and one for the blog and podcast. And so I'm being very thoughtful about what I'm posting and also what I'm saying. So I'm not just taking a picture of a plate of cookies and saying, this is my cookies for the day. Like I actually want to have a story within the story, if that makes sense. So I just try really hard to just continue to be me. Right. Continue to be relevant, continue to be consistent, because that's a lot. And making sure the whole feed still looks like what people followed me for to begin with. And then, you know, just probably trying to just work the hashtag system. And occasionally that works and occasionally it doesn't. Just kind of depends on the day of Instagram. Like if I use this set of hashtags for the photo, like I can get immediate response. It's crazy. Immediate response. I'll get a ton of likes on the photo. And then let's say in 2 days, I use that same set of hashtags and it'll just completely fail. And I'm like, wow, is that what ghosting really is? Yeah. You know, so, you know, then I'll stop using that set for a while and use some others to try to like get back into the system. But I don't stress about it. If it fails, it fails. Oh, well, I'll just keep going.
Right. Well, that brings, and you mentioned something that I had a question about, and Lisa actually asked the same thing. She asked, how do you feel about mixing business and personal posts on Instagram? And because I wanted to know how personal, you know, I mean, how particular you are on Instagram. You know, a lot of the top Instagrammers, you know, are super focused. They have only one kind of image they always do. They pre-plan their grid with tools. And, you know, mine is kind of just really eclectic. It's, you know, I got quotes on there, carvings I've done. It's, you know, does it really matter? Or, I mean, what are your thoughts on that? Because I know there's kind of controversy on that.
Yeah, I would definitely say there's controversy. I think like I've taken a bunch of Instagram courses and they're all like, oh, you got to be consistent and right. like rule of thirds and do this and this and this. And honestly, when I wake up and I'm like, what Instagram photo am I going to put up today? I just go through and whatever inspires me right. is what goes up. And I don't necessarily have like I'm not good at like pre-planning photos. I wish I had like a backlog, just like I used to do with my podcast. I used to have four in the can all the time. Right. And then life happened and I literally record the week it goes up. And I'm the same way with Instagram. And like, I just have to feel what I'm wanting to say and what I'm wanting to share. There are some things I never talk about, but I don't talk about them on the blog or the podcast. So that is very consistent. I know what I'm comfortable sharing and I know what I'm comfortable like just putting out there in the world. I don't like criticism and I don't like, you know, I don't want to push people's buttons. So I do keep all of that stuff completely off all of my channels just because that makes me nervous and gets right. me all like hivey and all that. but I think it's okay because if you're doing this as a brand, it's okay to share the sneak peeks of your life because the person buying from you is not just buying your product. They're buying you. They're buying the person behind the item or the service or whatever it is you're bringing to the table. And they're curious people. That's why Instagram stories works really well. They're curious people. So even if you have a very curated feed on Instagram, but your Instagram story gives a sneak behind the scenes, people want to see that. They are curious.
That's great. And I want to get into Instagram stories in a little bit. Peg Fitzpatrick, thanks for joining us, Peg. She says, Taylor does a great job on her Instagram story. So
thanks, Peg.
Yeah, thanks for stopping by. So, well, that leads what you just talked about to another question. You know, how real should you be on Instagram? You know, how much should you show about your life? Because, you know, piles of laundry or dirty dishes doesn't always make a great Instagram photo. So, you know, how much should you share? I know some people don't share anything about their kids. Other people think it's okay. So how much do you think is too much?
I think you really have to have a gut check with yourself and figure out, does this even does this even go along with what I'm selling? If it doesn't go along with what you're selling, I would leave it out. But if that goes along with your story, let's say you primarily are a lifestyle blogger, for example, and you do share about your kids and you share about the mess that is life with kids that sometimes happens. It would make sense to see a photo of laundry stacked high on the bed. But if you're selling scarves and knitted stuff, it's not going to make sense for me to see a pile of laundry on your bed. Like, that doesn't make sense in your story. So first, I think you need to really, like, deep down, what are you selling? And then what makes sense for how much do you share relating to that? Yes, we want to see behind the scenes, but if you're a knitter, for example, right. We just want to see you working on your latest craft project. We just want to see you shopping for new supplies. We just want to see that glimpse into how you got there. If it makes sense to show the dirty laundry on your bed, by all means, show it. But if it doesn't, leave it out.
Right. And Peg says dirty dishes and mundane tasks never make a good story. Unless you can make it funny, I guess. But yeah, you don't see a lot of shots of that.
Yes.
So, you know, Peg mentioned, you know, she loves your Instagram story. So what is your Instagram story strategy? Because I've been seeing like a lot of the engagement that used to happen on posts move to almost stories now. It seems like more people are commenting than they used to, and that's kind of getting mainstream. So what is your strategy for stories?
If I feel in the moment, and again, I'm not a person that schedules things. So definitely on Wednesday podcast release day, I've got, hey, brand new podcast is up. Go check it out. And so that's very business-like. But like if I'm out shopping for something or if I'm out hunting for a new antique to put into my inventory, that's the kind of stuff that you're going to see me doing. I don't share what my dinner might be unless I'm out at a blogger or a networking event. I don't share, like I'm very strategic about what is going up on there, but I'm not planned. So I could go a whole day or two without putting anything on my story because I didn't have anything to share that I thought people might be interested in. So I think there is a fine line with how much do you share on your stories and how much do you not? Like it's kind of like the rule where they say in email lists, they say, don't just like bombard your subscriber list with random stuff until you're ready to say something. And I think that makes a lot of sense even into the Instagram platform. Don't just do a story just to have a story unless you have something to say or something to share. And that's basic. I could go literally 2 days. I haven't been on my stories in 2 days because I didn't have anything to share. So,
right.
I take that back. We're on Thursday. I told about my podcast yesterday, but, if I don't have anything that's relevant to my audience, I'm not sharing it.
Right. That's a great point. And I think it's, you know, because this is a portable building out in my pasture. So I don't have a commute where I can take pictures. I don't have, you know, this kind of stuff. And it's just kind of, you know, this is what I'm doing. So I think it depends on, you know, how much you want to show them behind the scenes. And Peg quotes from Avenue Q, there's a fine line between love and a waste of time.
So true.
That is a very, very good point.
Yeah, there. I always tell my best friend, I'm like, we don't really have interesting lives.
Yeah.
So what do we share? So I'm very like strategic about right. What, like when it's interesting, I'm sharing because it's interesting. But like, I just sit in my home office all day long working. Yeah. That's not that interesting. Yeah, so
if you think my life is interesting, really need some help is what I say. And Peg, I mean, Elisa wants me to show cow patty. We don't have any cows right now back in the pasture. So sorry for that. If I find some laying around when I'm doing my walk, Elisa, I will send those to you. So, you know, one of the things is, you know, a lot of people focus on numbers and their Instagram numbers. I've got this many, I've just hit, you know, 5,000 or whatever. Do you think numbers matter as much anymore? Or is it the engagement you can get either through stories or your posts?
So unfortunately, I do think in the brand's eye, if you're working in a collaboration, it does matter. I wish it didn't. I wish that there was a way that they just looked at your engagement. Some of them do. Some of them are turning and realizing that, oh, well, she's got X amount of followers, but you know, I think a really good engagement, even on no matter what your follower count is like 1-3%. Like that's a right. very small amount, but that's a good engagement just because of what we're all battling in the Instagram platform. So yeah, I unfortunately do think the numbers matter to a collaboration. Do I stay up at night knowing that my numbers haven't really moved? Like I'll get like 50 new followers and then I'll lose them all. And I'm yeah. like, oh, they're using those stupid bots. And I just want to be like, I don't follow for follow. I don't follow for follow. Right. Like that doesn't work with me.
And people are buying followers too. I noticed yes. that on Instagram as well. And you can't do anything about that. So
no. And like, I think if a brand is truly interested in that kind of information, that you just need to present your stats with what kind of engagement you have. Like I do, like I recently worked with AT&T prepaid and they wanted a whole screenshot of how people interacted with me and my story. Cause they do, it does matter to them. They're trying to see if they're converting, potentially converting somebody. And that engagement is how that they can potentially determine that. So I think that the Instagram story, the engagement there is a lot more traditionally than now in the feed itself. But I just like, I'm just resolved at this moment with how many platforms keep changing things. And like also coming to the realization, they're not in this for an influencer. They're not in this for a blogger. They're not in this for a podcaster. They are literally all in this Pinterest, Instagram, Facebook for Mama Jane that's got two kids at home that's just looking for a stress relief moment. I mean, we are not their target market. And so they don't care what we say. They don't care that we want things back chronologically so that we can, you know, have a chance in the feed. So yeah, I think for me personally, I don't sweat the numbers, but I do think brands still do.
That's great information. And on that note, you know, we talked about buying followers. There's this thing also I see a lot of news articles about that, you know, like Instagram pods or, you know, pod sharing. So what are your thoughts on those? And I was telling Peg the other day, was like, we almost have one, like just kind of naturally anyway, organic, because it's all our friends and we all like each other's stuff. And it's not, there's no like secret group that we have and you have to follow. And every time they post something, you have to like it. It just happens that way. So what are your thoughts on that?
So I think you can get yourself into trouble with the pods, like the way that they're set up through, like you create a group of 20 and Instagram Messenger. And then every time you post, like you're asking everybody to jump on that post instantly because that's supposed to like get you into the popular section of Pinterest. I mean, on Instagram. And Instagram is so like the algorithms are so smart. They realize who's interacting over and over and over on the same accounts over and over and over.
Right.
The best thing to do is if you don't want to miss out on your best friend's posts or the people that you really want to know when they post, turn your notification on so that pops up on your phone. It's there to remind you, hey, they just have a new post. You click over to it, you interact with it. But like doing it in that pod kind of system, Instagram's paying attention to, and it's getting a lot of people blacklisted or ghosted because of it, because it's the same accounts interacting over and over and over. And that's not organic at all. That's basically you buying likes, even though you didn't pay for them. You agreed. So there is some consideration. You agreed to help each other out, and it's the same accounts helping each other out over and over. So I think if you want to help people and you want to help your tribe and you want to engage and make sure that you don't miss out on those people's Instagram posts, is just to turn your notifications on with their account specifically.
That's a great tip. That's a great tip. You mentioned earlier that you really kind of, it's just how you feel that day or if you have something that you're doing. So you don't have a set schedule for posting on Instagram. So
you I just don't. Kind of post, okay. Yeah. I try to post around the 10 to 11 to 12 mark. That seems to be where my account really takes off if I post in that time frame. If I wait too long or too early in the morning for whatever reason, like the way my account is engaged with my followers, it can fall flat. So that's the only thing that I try to aim for. And if I miss that time frame, go into tomorrow.
Yeah, right. That's a great point. And so I think that, and that varies from different people. And we've noticed even where we post at Social Media Examiner, because we have such a wide audience that sometimes, you know, we're hitting the UK crowd, or if we do it too early, the people in California haven't woken up yet, or it may work if they haven't woken up, they're driving into work or commuting. And so there's all those factors. And so, you know, and the times change. So
yes,
always just check and keep running your stats. And I want to bring up a comment from my friend, Rebecca Radice, because she does all this, and she taught me all about how to, she tests stuff all the time if you follow her account. So she's a great example, has a great Instagram account as well. So hey to Rebecca Radice.
Hey, Rebecca.
So, you know, the newest thing and the stuff we've been doing over on Social Media Examiner is the Instagram Live, and especially now the split screen where you can have people come on and interview them. So what is your, you know, we talked about your story strategy. So do you have a strategy that you're using for Instagram Live? Have you played with it much? What are you thinking about that?
So honestly, I haven't even gone live on Instagram. I choose to go live in my Facebook community. That's where I'm live every Wednesday night to my group for a live Q&A. And I've considered Instagram live, but my downfall is it's 24 hours. Whereas my live in Facebook is forever, and if someone can't catch it, they can go back and find it very easily and not have to wait on me to download it and then re-upload it and then go tell them where it is if they missed it in that 24 hours. But I see the power behind it. So if I am going to a conference or a networking event and I want to make sure that people know I'm there right then, interacting with whomever or whatever, that is powerful. That's powerful because it's longer than that 10-second, 15-second Instagram story. You get the chance to interact with your audience and, like you said, bring a friend on who may also be there, but you don't have to share your camera with each other.
Right. Exactly.
It's just easier. They can have their own, you know, screen that's now split between the two of you, and you can have that. It reminds me of like when newscasters go live on scene. Mm-hmm. That's what it reminds me of, and I think that is so powerful. I just haven't put myself into position yet to utilize that. I have friends that go live on Instagram all the time. They right. love it. They say, I'm live every Friday night at 8 p.m. Come hang out, ask me questions. And their audience knows that. I just right now, because before Instagram ever created live, I've always done my lives on Facebook. So,
yeah,
but I am not opposed to trying it. So
the thing we found in, Rebecca Reddy says, you guys do such a great job at Social Media Examiner with Live. And so we try to do it as much as we can. And so Eric and I had been waiting for on bated breath so we could come and use the split screen on Instagram. And what we've been doing is we've been doing like you do, Taylor, and go live on Facebook. And so we do, you know, if Instagram has a new update, we break the news there. Well, then immediately we go and we do it on Instagram as well. And we're reaching a whole other audience. Mm-hmm. And the comments are going off the charts. We don't have as many live viewers, but that 24 hours is another story that we really put on there. So I think it might be something for businesses and people who are trying to get started. They may try it and see which one works the best for them. And now it's not just you talking to a camera. You can actually bring friends on, which kind of makes it a little bit easier and not so maybe stressful.
That's the one thing I hear the most is, what do I say? I'm just talking to myself. Like, you don't have that. So, and I'm the same way. It took me a long time to get comfortable going live by myself and just having a running conversation until people started mm-hmm. having conversation back, because right. that feedback loop is non-existent when you're live by yourself. And mm-hmm. so it does make a lot of sense to bring somebody in so you can have a conversation with them. And I think it just helps propel you forward, because a lot of people just like freeze up. I don't know what to say now. What do I say now? Nobody's right. talking to me. You're what do I say now? You know, like, so I do think it's powerful. And I do think you will see a different audience on Instagram than you will in Facebook. So absolutely. I'm not opposed to it. I just haven't like, okay, I'm going to do that this week.
I still have a problem with not being able to save it, because, you know, as podcasters, yes. like this show, I've always done a live show and I've repurposed it to a podcast. And so not being able to do that just really kind of is hard. So it hopefully is. They'll open that up, but who knows? I want to bring up a question from John. He has a good one. He says, do you think business accounts get less traction than personal accounts? What are your thoughts on that?
So I've kind of been hearing a little rumbling about people wanting to just convert their accounts back over to personal to see if it matters. And I've actually watched people do that. And then they turn right back around a few months later and put it back over to business. They didn't notice a difference at all once they switched back over to personal. So I don't think that there's a massive difference. I don't know what it would be just for watching. I think there's been about 10 people that I've watched do this, and they were in different niches. So it wasn't like they were all one kind of Instagrammer where they converted back to personal to see if they could trick the system and get more engagement, and they didn't. And so they came back because you lose your stats when you aren't running a business account, and you lose some functionality of a business account switching back. So I have seen them come back, and they didn't notice anything different. So I don't think there's a lot of weight in are you knocked down because you're a business account and you need to switch back to personal? I don't think so. Just for the fact, like if we think about this from a business model, a business account is most likely going to spend money, and Instagram wants your money. So right. I don't see it's in their interest to knock you down, make it harder for you to get seen because they want your money. So,
right. Yeah, that's a great point. You know, you mentioned earlier and, I think, especially since you're a podcaster, that you were using your stories to promote your podcast. So how do you use Instagram, either stories or posts or even both, to promote your podcast and your blog?
So most of the photos that I post or anything that's coming into a story is related to a blog post or a past blog post or a podcast episode. Mm-hmm. So I'm terrible in the sense that I don't talk about my podcast archives, but I'm good at talking about my blog archives. So if I revamp a post that I did maybe a year ago or something, and I notice that I haven't used a photo like this, or I use a similar one a long time ago, but it needs to come back in the feed because it's relevant now, then I will use that and have that conversation. And what I like using is that Linktree tool, which mm-hmm. allows your profile link in your Instagram profile to become clickable, to open up to a menu of things that you can link out to. And I know Peg uses another one. Right now, off the top of my head, I can't think of what it's called.
Yesterday, I can't either.
Yeah. So there are a couple of them out there now that allows you to have a menu of links, because if I see, like, I'll log into my Instagram and it'll be showing me something from 4 days ago. And if that person said, hey, click the link in my bio, but they've already changed that link, I don't know where to go. I don't know how to get there. And so if you use a tool like Linktree, it allows that link to still stay there so that the people that do see your post in 4 days can still get to that post. And so that's what I will do. I will put my blog post in there. I will put, if I have a course or if I have something I'm trying to now sell, I just relaunched my Boss Girl merchandise shop over on Etsy. And so that link is going to go in there soon. And if I am like a latest podcast interview, that link will go in there, because I can't control when my interviewees are going to share about the podcast episode. And so it's just good for me to have that link in there. So when they tag me and people come over to my account, they can still get there. So
very cool. I want to bring up a couple of comments real quick. And John has a great tip. He goes, with the new iOS 11 update, you can now record your iPhone screen so you can save the Instagram stories forever. So, thanks, John. That's a great tip.
That especially is.
If you want to repurpose stuff. So, and Peg said about the tool that she uses, she says, I use Gallery Metrics, but Instagram made the links ugly for me now. So she was showing me that yesterday. So it actually makes like Gallery Metrics, like tag kind of thing. So hopefully they'll get that fixed.
That's
so we're talking about tools. What are some of your favorite tools for Instagram? You mentioned that Linktree. What are some other ones that you like to use?
So Linktree is one. I've tried Planoly, like when I get wild hair and decide to try to plan my feed out. Mm-hmm. I've tried Planoly. I've tried I used to use IconoSquare before that's they made you start paying for it, and I'm cheap, so I don't use that one as often anymore. Those are really all I'm using. I'm just natively using the Instagram platform just because I know, just like Facebook, I know that's what they prefer. So mm-hmm. I don't have any schedule reminder programs that I'm using to say, hey, it's time to post, because I post in the moment. But I know a lot of people love Planoly, and that's the only
Tailwind
one.
Tailwind has a great one too.
Oh, Tailwind, yes. Yeah, and there's a fee for Tailwind.
Right.
I haven't tried it. I use Tailwind for Pinterest, but I haven't tried it for Instagram because, again, I don't do well with planning.
yeah, I understand. So those, do you have any like favorite, like when you're taking photos, like filters or like Bosco, or what kind of tools do you like to use for that?
Yes, yeah, Snapseed is one of my go-to. I try VSCO, or however you say it, VSCO. I've tried that. I just bought another course to teach me how to use it more efficiently than I know how to use it, because it's, to me, it's not the most intuitive program out there. But Snapseed I love, and the reason I love Snapseed is I can control, I don't have to just put a blanket filter over the photo. I can actually go in and lighten certain parts of the photo. It's almost kind of like a Photoshop for Instagram, or just photos in general. I do believe I have a Lightroom app, but I haven't used that a lot for my photos. But Snapseed is the one that's kind of like my go-to.
Yeah, I use InLight. I use Snapseed, and I use InLight is one of my favorites because it's like Photoshop for your phone, just because I like the vignette that it puts on it. And that's one of the only things I use on it, but I love it. So the last couple questions before we wrap up, I want to ask you. And one is, how do you monetize Instagram? Do you have like a monetization strategy that you use? Is it mostly partnerships?
It is. It's mostly partnerships, collaborations. When I typically working with a brand, an Instagram post and a story, depending on how many go into the story, depends on what I'm doing. That's kind of what happens. So if AT&T Prepaid says, hey, we want to work together, this is what we're looking for, they automatically get an Instagram photo, and they automatically get Instagram story. If I have where you can just hire me to post something on Instagram, or to create an Instagram story. So I do have different levels that you can work with me in order to help you get your brand out there. But most of the time, it's like a prepackaged kind of a deal.
Very cool. Now, and I'm glad Peg's here because this is one of her big things too. And I know it's one of your big soapbox things too. So let's talk about disclosures.
Yes,
let's because, you know, Instagram just came out with something recently. There was an article yesterday that they're moving forward this rollout of its branded content tool, which allows celebrities and other popular users to take posts and, you know, identify them that they're paid for advertisers. But, you know, and I double checked, we have that new tool over at Social Media Examiner. But for the small people who don't have, you know, the big accounts, how should bloggers or businesses disclose they're being paid to post?
So first of all, the branded tool is not for the FTC. So the branded tool is specifically Instagram basically allowing that brand further reach and to see the background stats. That's really all. If we go just like brass tacks, that's what the branded tool is for.
Because you're not covered if you use that. I mean, that's
exactly
not.
Exactly. You are not. So yes, use it because it's now in their terms of service. If you have it available, you have to use it if it is a sponsored post or a sponsored story. You can't get around that. It's in their terms now. But that doesn't appease the FTC, because that wasn't something that they sat down with the FTC and said, hey, if we create this, is this effective disclosure? There was never a conversation like that. And I recently had the FTC on my podcast and I asked her about it. And she's like, yeah, no, you still have to disclose. And so their most recent update from the FTC is that if it is a sponsored, let's talk about Instagram posts first. If it is a sponsored post, your disclosure has to appear before the more button. If you get really wordy, and you're scrolling your feed and that little more button shows up, your Instagram, your disclosure has to be before the more button shows up. So you might as well put it at the beginning. Right. And there's really no reason to be smarmy about it. Just be on the up and up. Like, you have to make money too. Like, right. It's just is what it is. So disclose first and then go on your merry way with what you got to say. And then in stories, anytime you say something about a brand or the brand's picture is, or you're talking about it, or there's a photograph of it in your Instagram stories, hashtag ad every single time. And it has to be visible, because they have 4 seconds on a still photo to see the disclosure, or if it's a video, it's 10 seconds. And it has to be there. It has to be in their face that this is sponsored, because the sound isn't always on. You can't guarantee that you give a vocal disclosure that is going to disclose to everyone. So just disclose, hashtag ad. That is the easiest one to do. It's hashtag ad, hashtag sponsored, just the word ad, the word sponsored. You can now, they've said, if it's AT&T prepaid, I can say AT&T ambassador. I can say that now, and that's proper disclosure.
That covers it. Okay.
Yes. But you can't use the word hosted. You can't use the word SP. You can't use the word SPON. Ad sponsored, and then the brand ambassador, like whatever the brand is. Literally don't use anything else, but use one of those three.
So what would you do if for some reason, like, you were at a conference and you were being paid to, like, go to Inbound or to Social Media Marketing World and do an Instagram live? How would you cover being sponsored in that way?
So obviously it's similar to how YouTube works, where you have to put the disclosure at the beginning of your video. And I don't know if Instagram allows you to put overlays until you're done. Do you know?
I don't think it does. Yeah, it's like live, like Periscope kind of boom.
Okay. So in the YouTube world, which would be very similar to now using Instagram Story Live, is you have to disclose at the beginning so it's there, and then just come back on the backside and disclose again. Like, you can't really control them coming into the middle and you having to constantly say, I'm sponsored by so-and-so. Like, until there can be like an overlay. Like, I know you can you do the branded content tool on a live? I'm not even sure.
I don't know. I think it's so new, I'm not even sure if you can do that.
Okay.
Raise it anyway. Yeah.
Okay. So you just have to do it in the beginning and then come back in at the end and do it. And then once you hit done, I'm live, I'm finished live or whatever, and it allows you to put an overlay, definitely put an overlay. But if it doesn't, I mean, you did your best to disclose.
Gotcha. Very cool. Well, that's awesome, because I know that's a tricky thing. It's getting more and more important. I'm seeing more people getting hit by, you know, they didn't disclose and they're having to go back and pay stuff. And so, yeah, I'm with you. You know, do as much as you can. Err on the side of caution and don't mess with the FTC.
Because here's the thing that people don't realize. And if you know you're supposed to disclose and you don't, that's even worse. Mm-hmm. Because if they can prove that you knew, and it's not going to be hard, if they prove that you knew, it's going to be even worse. So just disclose. There's no reason why you shouldn't be disclosing. Like, we all have to put food on our tables. So just say you got paid. Say you've got this ambassadorship, a paid ambassadorship with so-and-so. I mean, I don't know. I don't get the people that are like, I'm not disclosing. Why not? Like, your audience will appreciate the fact that you're trying to put food on your table.
I totally agree. Totally agree. So, well, this has been an awesome conversation, Taylor. I don't want to take up any more of your time, but I want to make sure people, you know, we've already had some people who want that podcast link where you talk to the FTC, and we'll make sure to put that in the show notes. But where is the best place for for people to find you online?
So I am at Tay Bradford Blog on all social media platforms.
Very cool. And where can they find your, like, if they wanted to look for your podcast on iTunes, what's the best way to find it?
Boss Girl Creative is the name of the show. And like, Boss Space Girl Space Creative, you'll find it instantly. You can go to bossgirlcreative.com. All of my episodes are there in an episode guide with all my show notes. So if you hear me talk about a link in a particular episode, there's always an accompaniment show notes page that will give that link. But yeah, that's where you can find it. And I just got approved to be in Spotify.
That's cool.
So I think that's going to take about 2 more weeks for them to pull my whole show over into their platform. But that's a game changer for me, because that powers with Alexa. Alexa, play the Boss Girl Creative Podcast. Mm-hmm. That's so cool.
I'm glad I have headphones in, or she would start playing it right now. because she's done it before. But yeah, it does. It works really cool. And there is a lot of users. I got on somehow the approved list a long time ago for Libsyn. And so it does. It brings new users in. So it's very cool. So congratulations on that. And with that, I'd love for you guys always to visit manlypinteresttips.com. Click on the sidebar and join our email community so you'll never miss great guests like we have with Taylor today. Because at Manly Pinteresttips, we're always adding testosterone one pin at a time. We'll see you next time, everyone. Thanks for watching.
Bye.
Thank you for joining Jeff on his mission to help you be successful in the Pinterest world. Would you like to take part in a live show? Be sure to join Jeff's email community at manlypinteresttips.com. Adding testosterone, one pin at a time.